Good evening, everyone. Keep it in the bag, Louise. I can see your eyes. You can ask her afterwards, but if any loud clacking noise starts, there's two of them. Okay, so this is the first in a series in the evening anyway of looking really at the body of Christ and we are the body of Christ. I almost feel like throwing all this out, not because of Louise and the clackers, but that song just then just made me kind of realize I kind of want to start my sermon at the end. In that, just really getting and reminding ourselves or getting for the first time the beauty of the cross. That what Jesus actually has done for us. The freedom that he's given us from our brokenness, from our wrongdoings and what's been done wrong to us. That's the place at which, if we really truly get there, then how can we say no? You know, if we truly sit at that cross, look up and see him there on the cross, that nail-scarred man who so willingly took those beatings for us, how can we say no? And I'm reminded of a time where I actually got that, captured it. I'd been a Christian quite a while, but I was just spending some time alone on a retreat, and I got the full vision of Jesus on that cross, and despite the horrors that you could see there of what he'd gone through, I just saw the beauty of love coming back at me. And I remember at the time saying to him, "You've done that for me, how can I say no to you?" So I just want you to hold on to that as we look at what the Bible, particularly looking in the letter to the Corinthians from Paul about the body of Christ and about Jesus' examples of serving. But just hold on to that, what he's done for us. So I'd like to start in 1 Corinthians 12, starting reading at verse 12. It says in the NIV, "Unity and diversity in the body. Just as a body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink, and so the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if an ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just where he wanted them to be. And if we were all one part, where should the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving great honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then Paul goes on to say, at the very end, before it moves into chapter 13, it's called Love is Indispensable. And it says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. That being the most, if not the only way, to serve. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. See, serving is all about love, because he loved us first, even when we were sat rotting in our sin and brokenness. And we can see in the Bible that Jesus didn't just tell us to serve. He showed us how to serve. He showed us so many examples. And in Mark and in Matthew, he said, whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many. So Jesus, who left heaven, left the glories, left the side of the Father to come to earth as a mere man, as a mere baby, born to the poorest, revealed himself to the lowest. He came to serve. He didn't walk in as a king, but he was the king. He was the king of all kings. In Luke, Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you should not be like that. Instead, the greatest amongst you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am amongst you as one who serves." In John, Jesus said, "Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour." He's talking about walking towards the cross. And we know that he would have, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he would have asked the Father to take that cup, but it was the Father's will, and it was for the joy of the cross that Jesus went and died for us. In John 13, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now this is in the upper room at the Last Supper. So Jesus realized that none of their feet had been washed. So Jesus, who was preparing to go to the cross, was preparing to die for all our sins, got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and washed their feet. Jesus, the one who was prepared to die for us, was prepared to kneel at our feet and wash that grot and dirt. He was willing to get his hands dirty and do the job that no one else had thought to do, had offered to do. And he went on to say, when he'd finished and put on his clothes and returned to his place, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." A little further on in John, when Jesus is talking to the disciples and they start asking him questions, his response, "Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." I've often pondered on the greater things than these, and knowing that Jesus is countercultural, who's to say that these greater things are not actually doing the things that we don't really want to do, that we don't feel called to do, but they're things that need to be done as part of the church body. This church building doesn't maintain itself. You know, we have a group of people who take care of it. But a group of people who, I think Louise said this morning, some of them have been doing that for a long time, and some of them are tired, and they could do with some fresh blood. And we know that in all the areas that we serve in church, sometimes we can spread ourselves too thin. Sometimes we can get so tired that we end up not serving for quite a while afterwards. But there are some things that have to be done. You know, we sit in church and it's freezing cold because somebody's forgot to program the central heating. Then we're all uncomfortable, but it's not a big job to program the central heating. It's not a big calling on our lives, but it's a necessary part of church life, just like it is at home. People always complain to me at home when the water's not hot because I haven't put the water on. Because where we're living now, you have to put the water on separate from the heating, which is a little bit confusing. And sometimes I get in trouble for not quite getting that right. So there are lots of things in church that we wouldn't see as the greater things. I mean, wow, what I would give to have the gift of healing, to be able to lay my hands on people like Jesus and many of the disciples when there was a need and the Father was prompting them to lay hands on people and see healings. But also I know from my mum's serving heart that she got so much out of making cups of tea and coffee. That, you know, sitting on this stool in the kitchen. Because we do provide extra aids for those who struggle. Like my mum got to an age where she couldn't stand for very long because of her bad back. And so this was her stool, and she got quite affronted if someone moved it or took it, and it wasn't where she expected it to be. But she loved to serve coffees and teas and give a smile and a chat and pray for people, because you can stand and pray for people and you notice people as well. And we have so many servant-hearted people in this church who I admire and who we all should encourage, those people that are busy in the backgrounds. And if you don't know how something happens, ask someone, and they might point to someone you really didn't know they did that. And sometimes it's worth having a chat with people and just saying, well, what needs doing? You know, what can I do? What can I do with my time? I haven't got much time, but there are little jobs that need to be filled. So the greater things, are they the greater things when Jesus' countercultural way was, I am the King of Kings, but I'm going to wash the dirt off your feet? Those little things that need to be done in church. It's like someone who used to be at this church and they've moved away now always said, you know, we look for people who just see something needs doing and just get on and do it. And, you know, you have permission to do things that, you know, things that need doing. Permission to just let us know when things aren't working so that someone can fix it. But equally, if you're able to fix it, say, I've noticed that's not working. I can do that. I know I've been thinking a lot about the building lately, and I actually quite like DIY. I have a shed full of power tools because they give you power when you're using a power tool. And yet, sometimes I allow myself to be too busy to come to the Saturday days that get set up by F&P. And that's something I felt convicted about of late, because it's something I can do and maybe something I should be doing. So Kath will probably note that down in a little book and come and have a word with me later. But what I'm trying to say is Jesus showed us that serving comes from love, and serving is also part of his instruction. It's part of his training. It's part of his commands. In John 14, he went on to say, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to make our home with them. Because whatever you do in church, whether it's something you view as big or something you view as small, God sees it. God notices it. I mean, other people do as well. But he joins you in that activity. You know, you can really see when people have found their place and they just shine at that. And there are people here who are way too busy. And maybe for you it's time to sit and take stock if you're tired. And what are the areas that where you thrive and you grow? And what areas are a touch too much? And can you think of someone else to hand that baton on to? It's about taking stock of where we serve in church, but remembering who we serve and why we serve. One of my favourite passages in John is John 17, because it's got this prayer in there where Jesus prays for himself, prays for his disciples, and then prays for all the other believers. And I don't know about you, but being part of a body of Christ, it's kind of countercultural because we want it to grow. We don't care about our BMI in regards to the body of Christ. We want it to get bigger and bigger. And so I think the church is there to, well, it's to serve God primarily. And then it's to serve the community in a way to show Jesus so that we can bring people in, not just to grow the congregation, but to grow the body of Christ. But more than that, so that people will understand what he did for them on the cross. But here in John 17, Jesus prays for all believers. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. All of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. The world will know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me." But it comes back to love. It comes back to the fact that the Father's in us. It comes back to the fact that we've got the Holy Spirit. And it comes back to what he's done at the cross and us remembering that. And that love poured out to us, it's poured out. And that we want to love one another and serve one another as we serve God. And God will serve you through us. I guess what we'd really like to see is people in the right place in church. People in a place where they do flourish, where they are loved and they are able to show their love. And sometimes we can spend a lot of time seeking and asking, what am I called to? What area of church life am I called to? And we can procrastinate on that too long sometimes, because as it says here, we spend all our time trying to find out what direction God wants for us in the long term. We might just miss the thing he's asking of us. Just a faith-filled first step. Talking about serving and mentioning serving in church isn't about giving people a guilt trip that people aren't doing enough, because the vast majority of people are doing way enough or way too much. And one of the crucial areas of this church is prayer. So those of us who aren't able physically or time-wise to actually do a lot of practical stuff, the prayer chain, the say one for us, the praying for our fellowship group, praying for other people that we know and love around the church, that is the biggest and most important way to serve God's church. Praying for other churches, praying for the wider church, the church of the world. You know, prayer is something that is always needs more. But it'd be good to just spend a bit of time asking yourself, are you doing too much? Have you spread yourself too thinly? Or is there just something you could do in a change? Is there an area that you'd like to get involved with and you'd like to know more? We've got information that's up about how, as a body of Christ, as this church works, areas that it takes to keep this church going so that this church can get growing. Because at the moment, if we saw a massive influx, I've always thought, wouldn't revival be awesome? But the more I think about it, I think it's quite terrifying. But don't stop on my account, Lord, if that's your plans. I think the bottom line is we all want to see people come to know Christ, people in our lives, people in our communities. And we want to be a church that's ready for that. We want to be a church that loves one another, encourages one another, notices when people are tired, notices when people need help in certain areas. And remember that, you know, we have a building to take care of, we have people to take care of. And I just want to thank everyone that's involved in whatever area of church life. But sometimes it's good to take stock. And so I'd like to pray, but I'd like to ask the band to come back up. And I'd like us to just spend a bit of time just thinking. Not about a great calling. And certainly if anyone feels any guilt or regret or anything, just bat that one away and say, I'm not having that, because that's not of the Holy Spirit at all. Because the Holy Spirit will point you in a direction, not wag his finger at you. We want to be a healthy church who loves, a healthy church who serves one another. And I love the fact that we are described as a body, because there's so many different parts to a body, but yet it works in unity. Just like we are a church with different views, different backgrounds, different ways of looking at things. But so long as we keep looking to that cross, so long as we keep looking up at Jesus and what he did for us. Let us pray. Precious God, we thank you that you sent Jesus, and Jesus for your willingness to come, and that you did it in such a way that he came as a humble servant to show us how to serve, how to love, but also the power and the awesomeness of the Father. I thank you, Jesus, that you went willingly to that cross, that everything that I've ever gotten wrong, done wrong, said wrong, thought wrong, was born on you at that cross. And as I look at those wounds, I see staring back at me love. Reminders of that in our hearts, Lord, that you did it all out of love. Fill us with that love afresh, Lord. Your Holy Spirit, we need you. We need to give more of ourselves to you. There are some people here who need empowerment, Lord. Fall upon them mightily. There are people here who need healing and comfort, Lord. Fall upon them mightily. There are people here who need encouraging and thanking. Fall upon them mightily, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you come, walk amongst us. Hold those close that need you to hold them. Dance with those who are ready to dance. Empower and equip those willing hands, Lord. Help us to see the works that you would have us do, the greater things, even if to the world they look lesser. Lord, would you help us to just seek your heart for us? Are there things to put down? Are there things to